Okay, good evening, everyone. So I'd like to go through now a few different items or categories and discuss their muksa status on Shabbos. We've touched on some of the things, but we've spoken about raw food being muksa, raw food which is not edible in its raw state. But frozen food, meaning food that's is cooked or edible as is, but just that it's frozen and you can't eat it while it's frozen, that's not muksa. And even if it's frozen, bein hashmashos, although when it comes to the halachas of muksa, in certain cases, the status that a thing, that an item has, bein hashmashos, between the shkia and seisa kochavim, Friday night, that in many cases, or in certain cases, that determines its status for the whole Shabbos. But frozen food, even if it's muksa bein hashmashos, so it's technically not edible then, but it's not muksa, and I don't mean muksa, I'm saying even if it's frozen bein hashmashos, it is not muksa, because it's the type of thing which easily changes. For that matter, if a person makes an Erev Tavshilin, when a Shabbos, when a Yontif that is, falls out on a Friday, and the next day is Shabbos, regardless of whether the next day is also Yontif, but you need an Erev Tavshilin so that you could prepare food and cook and do other things on Friday, Yomtiv, for Shabbos. So the Erev Tavshilin, which you prepare before Yomtiv, has to be edible food, cooked edible food, but it could be frozen. You could take a piece of meat, a roast, nice, delicious roast, and it's cooked and ready to eat. If it's raw, it does not work for the Erev Tavshilin, but it's cooked, and it's, even though it's frozen, it still works. So frozen food is considered edible food, even if it's at the moment it's not actually edible. And you could use a frozen challah for Lecha Mishnah, as the second one of Lecha Mishnah. Okay. Now, and even if the frozen food, even if it's food that you made for some occasion, you're preparing for a simcha, a child's bar mitzvah, whatever it is, and you're cooking in advance, and you cooked foods and froze different food in the, and you have frozen food in the freezer, which you would not want to use earlier than the bar mitzvah Shabbos, and now it's 2 weeks before, still, it's not muksa. Food is not muksa. Typically, food, as long as it's edible, it's cooked, or if it's the type of food that doesn't need to be cooked, is not muksa. And actually, whether even food for animals, even if it's not a human food, but if it's food for an animal, provided it's a type of animal that is matsui, that is a common in your area, even if you don't own an animal, but the type of animal that would eat an animal that would eat this type of food is matsui where you live, then that food's not muksa either. Okay. Now, what about food in cans? You have a closed can of corn. Corn's edible, but it's in a closed can, or tomato sauce, or whatever it is. And we've discussed in the past that I believe, you can check the records, but I believe we've highly recommended that a person not open cans on Shabbos. We discussed the union a little bit. There's a very big machlokas poskim, and there are poskim that hold it's mutter to open cans on Shabbos, but there are poskim that holds it's usher to open cans on Shabbos. And it was our suggestion that one conform with the stricter opinion, particularly because Rabbi Shmuel Feinstein, the Tzal, who's technically holds very, very, you know, very clearly that it's mutter al pidin, he still strongly advises not doing it in his tshuva. Strongly advises not opening cans on Shabbos. But okay, so the question is, so what if you have a can and you don't want to use it? You don't want to use it on Shabbos, but it's you want to move it. It's in the way, or it got left out, or you opened the cabinet and it fell out. You want to know, if can I pick it up and put it back in the cabinet, or can I move it to get to the chocolate bar that's behind it, or any other reason why I would like to move this can of vegetables, tomato sauce, or you name it. So the lachas, it's mutter to move. They're not muksa. The cans are not muksa. First of all, as I said, many post calls you can open them. So even if you choose not to, and you follow the guidance that you were provided not to, but it's still, since many would open it, it's not muksa. And even like the machmirim, there are ways, you know, there are certainly situations where you could have a guy open it if you needed it for Shabbos. That's less of an issue, typically. Not going back to the whole issue now, but therefore, they're not muksa. So canned food, unless if it's canned food of something which is, once you get past the can, it's raw food, which is not edible. It's some sort of ingredient or some sort of maybe vegetable, which cannot be eaten. I don't think they come in can, right? They, if it's in cans, it's probably been cooked already. But if you had something in a closed can and it's not edible, then it's muksa, because it would be muksa even if it was not in the closed can. Okay. The pits, let's say a peat pitch, excuse me, a peach pit, or the pit of a plum, or the like, those are muksa, certainly if they don't have any real meat on them. I mean, you know, you've eaten, you open the peach, or you've eaten the peach, and you ate around the pit, and the pit is now a dry pit, so that's muksa. So it's good to be in the close proximity of a garbage can. If you're, let's say you're cutting open peaches and to serve them, so the pit should go directly into the garbage. You just turn, you know, take the pit, you know, grab the pit and let grab the plum and let the pit fall into the garbage. Or if you're eating it that way also, when you get down to the bottom and you're almost by the pit, it would be proper to be by a garbage can where the pit could be immediately just dropped into the garbage can. Same thing is true by smaller pits, which are not edible pits from apple seeds or the like. They're not edible, so they're muksa. And if they come out of the apple, then they have to be treated certainly as muksa. Okay. What about insecticides? So we'll make a chilek in insecticides. Insecticides, if it's something that's designed to kill insects, then it's muksa. You're not allowed to kill an insect on Shabbos. If there's an insect in your home, a live insect, and he is an unwanted, uninvited guest, so you could ask him to leave, but you can't kill him. Now, could you pick him up and throw him out? Well, the insect is muksa. Now, some cases, it would be mutter anyway, else the concept of graf shel rei. We mentioned something which is repulsive and people find disgusting. The Gemara talks about a dead mouse being a graf shel rei, because most people aren't fond of dead mice. So the same thing would be true if you had a nice-sized dead cockroach in your house. Now, you could very likely, you could get rid of it without actually moving it directly, meaning take a dustpan and a broom and, you know, don't handle it directly. But if this, you know, but technically, it would if it's in a place where people would come across it and find it very unappealing, then it would fall into the category of shel rei, and you'd be allowed to get rid of it. Now that could be true by a live insect also. A live insect, though, if you want to move it to get rid of it, you have to make sure not to be over tseda. You can't trap it. You're not allowed to trap living creatures, living beings, animals or birds or fish or insects. So make sure not to trap it. But let's say it crawled onto something and you just want to pick that thing up, and it's got plenty of room to run around, and you know, it's so you're not, you know, you haven't trapped it, but you could do that if it's a graf shel rei, or you could do that if it's a graf shel rei. But you can't kill it. You can't kill it on Shabbos. And even if you really don't like the way it looks and don't appreciate its sharing your home with you, so you can't kill it. So since you can't kill it, because of the malacha of called shochet, and the tilas neshama, taking away life. So therefore, a spray or other type of bug insecticide which is designed to kill roaches or ants or the like is muksa, because its purpose is for something you can't do on Shabbos. It's muksa. But there are insect repellents, things which people spray on themselves in order to repel insects. So that the mosquitoes, for example, if you're going to sleep in the sukkah at night and there happen to be some mosquitoes that are also planning on spending the night in the sukkah, so you could spray your skin with insect repellent, and it doesn't kill them, it repels them. That's why it's called repellent. It repels them. And that you could use even in the air, by the way. Let's say there's things flying in the air and you want to spray it into the air in a way that you're not trying to kill it. You're not going to kill the thing, or at least it's not a psik resh. You're spraying it around, just around where the flying items are, but not spraying it directly at them. If you spray it directly at them, it could be you would kill it, even if it's a repellent. But you spray it around in a way that it it makes it unpleasant for them and they fly away. You're allowed to do that. You could spray it into the air, spray it onto your body, etc. So therefore, they're not muksa. Those have a function on Shabbos, a use on Shabbos, Shabbos, Yontif, and therefore they are muksa. Most of these, I mentioned sukkahs, I mean, there could be a Shabbos and sukkahs too, but most of these halachas apply on Yontif as well. Most of the things, there are exceptions, but some differences, but most of the things that are muksa on Shabbos would be muksa on Yontif as well. Not raw food, of course not, because you could cook raw food or bake raw food on Yontif, but many things that are muksa on Shabbos, muksa on Yontif as well. So while we're here, I just briefly mentioned killing a bug on Yontif might be mutter, meaning a bug that is disturbing you, that is bothering you, and that you have a real tzorich to kill it. Let's briefly talk about you're sitting in the sukkah, and there are bees bothering you. I don't think it happens so much here in Florida, Baruch Hashem. It was in Chicago. It was a presence in New York as well. Bees that, especially depending on the time exactly when sukkah falls out, and but during the day meals, not the night meals, but you may have bees in the sukkah. So let's assume there's nobody in the sukkah that's allergic to a bee sting, nobody that would be in any danger if he was stung, but at the same time, nobody would exactly be appreciative of a bee sting. So we know you're allowed to try, even though you're not allowed to trap, as we said, but if you're just trapping a bee under a cup to get it, not because you want the bee, because you want to get rid of the bee, and it's a mazik, it's something that could cause harm, and it's something that's not normally trapped, etc. There's a combination of as far as why you're allowed to put a cup over the bee to trap it. That would be even on Shabbos or Yontif. What about to kill it? Let's say you're in a position where you could give a nice smack and the bee will no longer be. So Shabbos, you can't do that. You can't kill a bee on Shabbos. But on Yontif, again, I'm not talking about a person, if this person who has a sakana, if he's stung by a bee. But on Yontif, some hold you can. In fact, I asked the shout out to Rabbi Yashiv, and he said that you could. He said it's better to trap it, but if you need to, you could kill it. Because on Yontif, you're allowed to slaughter the Malach of Shochet. You're allowed to slaughter an animal if you want to serve fresh meat, slaughter an animal and salt it and cook it and serve it on your Yontif meal. So since the Malach of Shochet is mutl tzarech hayom, so killing the bee, if it's a tzarech hayom, killing the bug, if it's a tzarech hayom on Yontif, Shabbos is not mutl, there's no heter to slaughter on Yontif, on Shabbos, but there is a heter to slaughter on Yontif, and therefore Rabbi Yashiv said in others as well, that you're allowed to kill an animal, or I'm talking about insects now, kill an insect which is a nuisance or harmful, and there's a tzarech, if you're unable to trap it, there's a tzarech to kill it, tzarech to for your peace of mind and enjoying your sukkah meal, you would be allowed to do that. Okay, wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos. And as Hashem, hopefully we will. Oh, Sunday, I expect to be out of town. Thank you for reminding me. As Hashem, I expect to be out of town at a chasna this Sunday, like Ba'omer. So I don't think that there'll be a shiur Sunday. Can't count on it. I don't know the timing. So let's, as Hashem, plan on resuming on Monday. Monday, the day after Lag BaOmer. Okay, be well. Have a good Shabbos. Kol
tov. Thank you, Rabbi. Have a good Shabbos. Safe trip.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Bye-bye.